Me to the very last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter number 13. Revelation chapter 13, as we continue in our study of the book of Revelation. Verse number 11, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 11. Let's read the Bible together. The Bible says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you for being with us already throughout this evening. And I pray that you be with us now as we look into thy word. Lord, I understand that I can't do this without you, so I'm asking that you would anoint me, enable me, Lord, to preach. Lord, I pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and I pray that our hearts would be stirred to serve you in a greater way. Lord, realize the difficulty of many of these passages. But Lord, tonight I pray that we'd go away with a better understanding of your word, and a greater understanding of you and who you are that may reveal you to others. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Please, Lord, help us to see thee tonight and hear from thee. And we'll thank you and praise you, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to preach tonight on the beast out of the earth. The beast out of the earth. We've already seen the beast out of the sea. That wicked one that rules a league of nations that revived Roman Empire. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. And we read and thought of the wonder after the beast out of the sea, how that the people just wandered after him. We saw the worship of the beast out of the sea. And we saw the wickedness of the beast out of the sea. The beast out of the sea was no doubt a political leader and a great political leader. He had captured the attention of all the world. And he had a league of nations around him, a federation of nations, this revived Roman Empire. He had great power and great ability. But tonight, as we move on, we see another beast. And the difference is, this is not a beast from out of the sea, this is a beast from the earth. And many believe that being out of the earth is a reference to Palestine. And we look at this, and I understand that the word here literally talks about from the earth, or from the dust of the earth is where this beast comes. So maybe there is some room for that, or maybe there's not. But it sure does line up when we realize that this could very well be a beast that riseth up out of Palestine. And many believe that the first beast will be a Gentile, and that this beast out of the earth is going to be a Jew. Regardless tonight of those things, we know that he's an important part of the Great Tribulation. And so tonight, as we think about it, and as we look at this beast out of the earth, we need to realize there's different views, there's different ideals, there's different thoughts, and we're going to look at some of the basic things and get an understanding of the role that he plays during the Great Tribulation. Number one, I want you to see his description. His description. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. When we look at this, we realize there's some things that's given us a description about this beast and who he is and what he pertains to. Number one, the Bible teaches us that he has two horns like a lamb. And the lamb has always been an important part of Jewish belief, of course. We could study the history of the Jews, and we're going to find out that there was always the lamb sacrifices, this perfect, spotless lamb. But this beast will be very religious. You might as well mark it down. This beast will be very religious in the same way that the first beast was very political. And this beast out of the earth is going to appear harmless. It's going to appear peaceful. And the lamb in the Bible is a ceremonially clean animal. So he can be accepted by many. When we think about that, we're realizing that he's going to be drawing people to himself, and he's going to look so peaceful, and many believe that this is going to be the one that is going to head up the apostate church at this time, and I believe very well it could be, and the Bible even teaches us that he is the false prophet, as we read later, which the apostate church, this church that we understand, the Bible teaches us that the first beast is going to annihilate, but the second beast is going to be taken care of, as we understand that. And we'll look more into this as we get into these weeks that are ahead. But this beast out of the earth is going to seem so peaceful. And he's going to be something that both Jew and Gentile can look at and think, well, this guy's all right. And it's going to be so drawing, if you will. And the Bible says that he's like a lamb. There's no doubt that this is an imitation of the Lord and of the things of God and of the religion of Christianity. But while the Bible says that he had two horns like a lamb, which shows that he has some authority, not political authority, because there are no crowns on these horns, so it's religious authority. The Bible says he had two horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. Now, we've already been introduced to a dragon, haven't we? A great red dragon. We're finding here somebody that looks peaceful, that looks harmless, but when he speaks, he's the mouthpiece of Satan. He's the mouthpiece of none other than the devil himself. The Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 2, of the great red dragon. And here is a man that's going to speak on his behalf. This beast is the false prophet. He's the antithesis, or the exact opposite, of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked about how there's a Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, there's also an evil trinity, which is Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet. And this is part of that trinity. This is that false prophet. And we see that he's going to be imitating the Holy Spirit. Just as Christ said to the believer, would be endued with power. We realize that the power that was delivered was delivered to the believer in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he was exercising the power of Christ in the life of a believer. You know what happens when you get saved? Christ lives in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, right? We have an understanding of that. We are baptized with the Holy Ghost when we're saved. Now, that doesn't mean we speak in some unknown tongue. It means the Holy Spirit comes and abides in us. And Christ is in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches us that as Christ said that the believer would have this power, and this power would come from the Holy Spirit, that the false prophet imitates the Holy Spirit by exercising the power of the Antichrist. This is the real deal. This is going to be a difficult time. I mean, this guy is going to be fooling the world. Thank God I won't be here. Church will be gone. Hallelujah. It's good to be saved, isn't it? We think we can make it through times like this, but I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to be able to make it through times like this. So the Lord said he's going to take us out of here. I'm glad of that. The Bible says, Goes on in verse number 12, says that he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Just as the Holy Spirit was always pointing people to Christ, this false prophet is pointing people to the Antichrist. He's telling us to worship, or he's telling them to worship the Antichrist and to worship this first beast out of the sea. So we see the likeness and we understand these things. And the Bible goes on in verse number 13, it says, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, this could be imitating the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And you remember when the fire came down then. Or this could also be mimicking the two witnesses that we read of in chapter number 11 and how that fire was able to proceed out of their mouth and to devour those that were to come after them. So we begin to get an understanding of the false prophet, and we begin to get an understanding of his description about his abilities. Now, we're not talking about some mamby-pamby little creature that's just going to rise up and he's going to go away at the beckoning of the people that are around him. We're talking about a very winsome personality. We're talking about an unholy trinity, an evil three, if you will. And dear friends, these three are going to work in deceiving the world. And I want you to understand this. You say, well, people will be able to look through that and see through that. But the Bible teaches us, and we'll read this a little bit later on, for those that have already had the truth revealed and have rejected the truth, that God himself will dilute the minds of the people and they'll believe the lies of the devil. So we need to realize this, that when we've had this gospel experience or we've had the privilege of hearing the gospel, I believe that it's going to be too late for somebody to be saved after the church is raptured if you've rejected the truth. If you've rejected what the Bible has to say. When we begin to understand some of these things and we see the reality of all this, it brings fear in my heart, but not for me. It brings fear in my heart for those that's going to be left in this world that's going to have to put up with this. What if the Lord Jesus were to return tonight? What if we were to hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the shout of the Lord? What if tonight was the night that we were ushered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and we were ushered into eternal glory to be with Him and we'd be shouting the hallelujahs? But I want you to think about friends and families of ours that would be left behind that would have to deal with such things. Now, 3.5 years of some peace have taken place. Some stability, if you will. But it's getting ready to fall apart. They've not seen anything yet. There's 3.5 years of terrible things that's going to be happening. And I'm telling you, dear friends, I don't want anybody. I don't have an enemy that I know of other than the devil. I don't have anybody that I hate. Now, there may be some that hate me. I hope not. But you always have those. But I tell you, I don't want anybody to have to go through this. I want people to know the Lord, and I want them to have Christ in their lives. And when the day comes, when death comes their way, or the Lord Jesus returns, that they know they'll be in heaven. We see his description. Number two, I want you to see his deception. His deception. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. You know, people all throughout the ages have been looking for signs and wonders, haven't they? I mean, we can go all the way back into the Old Testament. We can see all throughout the New Testament. There's always been people wanting signs and wanting wonders. If you'll remember, the unbelieving Jews in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth were always asking for signs. But he wasn't going to validate who he was with these signs. He said, you have Moses and the prophets. You have the truth. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He says, I come in my Father's name and you won't believe me, but somebody else is going to come in his own name and him you'll believe. Well, here we see that there's going to be signs and wonders, and while the Lord Jesus refused to do it, the false prophet in the sight of the beast deceives many by all the signs and the wonders that he does. And I'm telling you, dear friends, it's going to be hard to look and to see what's going on. If you're here in this world, it's going to be hard to see the signs and the wonders, the miracles that this false prophet does, and not think, this could be the one. Look at how many people have followed all the crazy religious fanatics of these past years. Look at how many were willing to go out into a wilderness and drink Kool-Aid and die. Think about it. Why? Because he had a winsome personality. Because there was something about him. By the way, Satan empowers people like that. But you've never seen anybody like this false prophet. You've never seen anybody like this beast out of the sea. As winsome as these other men were that had people following them, it will not compare to how winsome these guys are and how convincing they are. As they start deceiving people, people are just going to come to them by droves. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. It says, saying to them, that dwell on the earth, the middle part of the verse, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Boy, he keeps bringing that up, don't he? That wound that was healed. That wound, you're going to read about it several more times throughout the end of this book of Revelation. It's going to be something they're going to boast of. But he's saying to them that they should make an image to the beast. Through his deceitfulness, he talks to those that dwell on the earth to build this image to the beast. What is that image? We don't know. It does not say an image of the beast. It says an image to the beast. Now, it could be a statue of this beast. It could very well be that. Or it could be a statue of something that he represented, as there was the emblems of Nebuchadnezzar in those days. And without going all the way back into that, we understand it's a representation of things. And some people believe that this statue would be something that would represent this federation of nations, this league of nations, if you will. But there's something odd about it. The Bible teaches us about this, about an image being made, and the Bible talks about this and calls it, while we do not know what the image is, what we believe is that this is the abomination of desolation. This is the time where this image is going to be made to the worship of the beast and to Satan himself, and God's going to say, that's it. That's enough. They're going to desecrate the holy place of God, if you will. I want you to look back with me, if you will, to the book of Daniel, chapter number 9, the Old Testament, verse number 27. Daniel chapter number 9, verse 27. The Bible says, and he, talking about the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now let's go on over to chapter number 12 of Daniel. And I want you to see something very interesting. And it says, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And the Bible goes on the next verse and says, there shall be the 1,305 and 30 days. Now, when we look at this, we realize that there's 1,260 days in the final part of the tribulation, in the last half, the 3.5 years, 1,260 days mentioned to us time and time again. We find that 30 days are added here in verse number 11, and then 45 more days are added. Now, the Holy Spirit does not give us the clue as to what this is. Some people believe that at the conclusion of the valley of the Battle of Armageddon, that there's going to be a time period that's there, and we can read about that, and we'll look at the Battle of Armageddon as we get further into the book of Revelation. But as we begin to understand this, we know that this period of great tribulation is going to be 1260 days, and then there's going to be 30 days, something else is going to be happening there, and then 15 more days, if you will, or excuse me, 45 more days after that. And so while we don't understand or we don't know all of this, we know that the Bible is true, and we realize that there's going to be some things happening before, as the Bible teaches us in the next verse of chapter 12 and verse number 12, before the fullness of the blessing. The Bible says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in the lot at the end of thy days. So there's a time of blessing coming, but we really don't know what's going to happen during the end of this great tribulation, this battle that's going to take place, and this fullness of blessing. We really don't know what's going to happen, but I'm telling you, there's going to be an abomination of desolation, and when that happens, that's when this last half, the great tribulation, if you will, is going to break loose on earth, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a horrible, horrible time. He's given, the Bible teaches us back in Revelation chapter number 13, as we look at this and we think about this abomination of desolation, he says that they're going to make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. You know, by the way, the Lord Jesus told us about that, didn't he? The Bible says, and I'll read this to you, Matthew 24, verse 15, when ye therefore, the Lord Jesus is speaking, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. In other words, it's going to be bad. It's going to be horrible. This abomination of desolation, God is not going to put up with it. And he's going to be, this is going to be the one event, and God has known about it since before time ever existed, because he's the all-knowing God. But this time is coming, and Daniel wrote about it, and the Lord Jesus spoke of it, and it's going to take place. There's going to be this abomination of desolation, and dear friends, God's going to say, that's it. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be awful. The Bible goes on and says in verse number 15, he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast. Think about this. Here's this image, and seemingly life comes into this image. Now, many believe this could be Satan himself actually vaulting himself into the image and speak and declare that those that don't worship the beast should be killed. But we see his deception, don't we? Now, let me ask you something. If things were so very difficult, and you're looking for peace, and you're looking for stability, and just looking for things to settle down, and here comes one on the scene, and boy, he can send fire out of heaven. He can speak great swelling words. He can convince you of certain things. You can see how people could believe a lie, because they're desperate. But he don't stop there. He starts making some demands. The third thing I want to see is his demands. Notice this. He starts saying, first of all, that those that don't worship the beast should be killed. It doesn't say everybody's going to be killed. It says they should be killed. You remember when Hitler was trying to get rid of all the Jews? You remember he was very diligent at it, but there were still those that survived, right? And during this time, there are going to be those that's going to survive. We realize that as we read on in the Scriptures, we understand that not all are dead. But look at his demands. Look at what the Bible says. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So we begin to see that he starts making some demands. He has now in his power, in his spectrums, both political and religious power. And they're both under his control. And Satan begins to strongly move forward. This false prophet demands that anyone that is to buy anything or to sell anything to be required to receive the mark of the name in their right hand or in their forehead. I've heard people talk about this and say, well, I'll just refuse. Go a week without eating. See how well you do. Have a child that's sick and need of medication. The only way you can get the medicine is you have to have the mark of the beast. See how far you'll go. These are terrible times. We see this, and the Bible says everybody's included in this. Look at it. He doesn't exclude anybody. The Bible says he calls it all small and great, rich and poor, free and bond to receive a mark in the right hand or in the foreheads. In other words, he is emphasizing they have to have a mark. All have to have a mark. Does all receive a mark? No, we'll find that out here in a minute. But in order to buy and sell, to trade, to get gain, you have to have that mark. So many believe that they'll be able to hold out and not accept this mark. But if you've heard the truth and you received it not, then you're going to believe this lie, I'm telling you. I don't think anybody that's ever sat under the sound of this preaching would be able to make it through this and not receive the mark. If you've not trusted Christ as Savior, if you've rejected Him, you say, why do you say such things? Well, I'll read it to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, that is worshipped. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. It's talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Remember what I said about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now indwells in the church, in the believers, right? So when the church is taken away, the Holy Spirit does not cease to exist and he does not cease to be here, but his work will be totally different. Because now he's working through the church. He'll be working in this day the same way that he did in the Old Testament times. We have to understand that. The Bible goes on and says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, there it is, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now I'm convinced that's talking about future times, but it's also talking about times of today. You hear the truth, but people would rather go and live in the pleasure of unrighteousness than to submit to the truth of God's Word. And when that is the case, then God is going to delude their mind, give them strong delusion, and they'll believe a lie. I'm telling you, it's going to be a terrible time. There's so many people that sit on church pews who's going to go to hell off of a church pew. And they sit there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I tell you what, they're just satisfied with where they are. But they've never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And dear friends, when the Lord Jesus comes, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. The Bible goes on. Begin to close out. Back in Revelation chapter 13. We see that no man can buy or sell unless they have the mark. I just want to stop right here and say thank God that I won't have to put up with this. I won't have to face this. lot of good things about being saved. And the more I read the Bible, the more I realize that how blessed I am to have Christ in my life. I have a friend that's closer than a brother. I have somebody that said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'd have somebody that says, as I go, he'll go with me always, even unto the end of the world. Think about that. But then when these days come, it's not that he'll be going with me. I'm going to be with him, protected from all this. The Bible goes on and says in verse number 18, here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. There's going to be a remnant of those that are going to recognize Satan for who he is. I personally believe, and I've said it 3 or 4 times already, that if you've already had that opportunity, you're going to be deceived. You're going to believe the lie. But there's going to be a remnant, more than likely mostly a Jewish remnant, that's going to see Satan for who he is. And the Bible teaches us that if you have understanding, those that have understanding are to count the number of the beast. That's the number that they have to receive. That's the mark. And the number of the beast is none other than 666. The Bible says 600, 666. Now, there have been so many that have tried to attribute that number to certain things. You can make it mean just about anything you want to. You can make it mean a certain person, a certain piece of equipment. People have tried to say Nero, and they would take his name with certain alphabetical, declaring certain numerals that would go along with his name and his full name, and they would say, you add this, 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 and this, then it would add up to 666, and not only him, Muhammad, there's been people that's tried to do that, and people have tried to say that the Pope is. Now, I believe that very well that the Popish religion is going to be that apostate church of the Revelation, and I believe that it is an apostate church today, if you will, because they deny the truths of the things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people, this was a humorous one, you know, we bring it down to modern day, and there was people like him or hate him. I thought this was about as foolish as I heard. I remember Reagan, people said he was the Antichrist. Here's why. Because his name, Ronald Wilson Reagan. Ronald had 6 letters, and Wilson had 6 letters, and Reagan had 6 letters. 666. So no doubt, he was the Antichrist. And then some people have tried to say that the computer, that if you take and you put a certain numerical value to the C, a certain numerical value to the O, and it's been proven that, yes, you can do that. But you can probably do that on Merida bread and make it work. I don't know. The fact is that we know that there is going to be this beast, if you will, and his number is going to be 666. That's what the Bible says. And when I think about that number 6 or 666, I realize that the number of man is 6. If you study the Bible, you come to an understanding of that. Man was created on the 6th day, right? And man was created to work 6 days. So we have an understanding of these things. Man, the number of man is 6. The number of God, or the unity of God, is 1. Man always comes up short unless God is in his life. And then the number of perfection or completion in the Bible is 7. So I'm not, this isn't about all kinds of numbers. I'm just telling you certain numbers in the Bible. If the number of completion and perfection is 7 in the Bible, then man with God, man 6 with God 1 equals completion. The only way you can be perfect or complete is to have the Lord in your life. That's the only way. Anything less than that comes up short. And that's all this beast can do. He can mimic, he can imitate, but he can't do anything more. All he'll do is come up short of being what it is he wants to be. Because God's God. This is somebody trying to imitate God, trying to be equal to God. Regardless of 666, is just helping us to realize that we'll not be complete unless we put our faith in the Lord. There's no way to imagine what's going to be going on during these times. As I've studied, I've tried to picture it. I've tried to get it in my mind and get a mental image of it and just say, what will be happening? And I try to picture what people will be doing. And all I can really think about is that these times will be the most terrible times that you could possibly imagine. No food, no medicine, no ability to make money without accepting this mark. This evil trinity will be hard at work to make life miserable. The abomination of desolation will bring down the very hand of God. And there's going to be 3.5 years of pure hell on earth. It's going to be that awful. It's going to be terrible. So when we think about it, do you know that you're saved? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that heaven's going to be your home? If Jesus were to return today, were to hear the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the shout, can you say, I'm going home? I know I'm on my way. If so, tonight, you're going to be in heaven during this time, and we can rejoice. But if not, then you're going to face these horrors, these events. You'll believe the lies of Satan because you've rejected the truth. We need to consider that. Number two, is your family saved? Have you spoken to them about the Lord? Have you gotten over your little silly arguments enough to say, I love you enough to tell you that Jesus loves you and died on the cross for you? Are your friends saved? Number three. Are you making a difference in their lives by speaking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ? We can go all through this. And by the way, you're going to hear these same things week after week. Are you saved? Is your family saved? Are your friends saved? Because these are all future events. And these are all things, if you're saved, you're not going to be a part of it. You're going to be in heaven. There is a time coming. We're coming back. One's leading the charge on a white horse. And there's going to be an army behind him, and I'm going to be somewhere in that army. I'm going to be coming back. And he's going to do the fighting. It's good to be on the winning side, amen. Now's the time, dear friend, to be telling the story of Jesus. Now's the time to tell others about the Lord. I don't know how many days we have left. I don't know how many hours or how many minutes or how many seconds we have left. It could be weeks, months, years, decades. It could even be centuries. I don't think it will, but it could be centuries. All I know is that His return is imminent. He's going to come. We need to be ready. And we need to be faithful to the Lord until He comes or until He calls us home. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love. I thank You for the time we've had to look into Thy Word. And Lord, I realize there's so much more to it than what I could ever bring out in one setting. Or, Lord, even to a comprehension for myself and for others. Lord, as we've looked at the basic thoughts of this beast out of the earth, I pray that You've put a burden in our heart to not only know that we're saved, but to have the assurance of it and to be faithful in telling others about You and how You loved us, gave Yourself to die on the cross for us, promised that whosoever believeth in You would not perish but have everlasting life. Help us to be burdened for souls. Lord, help us to give our lives, surrender ourselves totally. Help us to give our life to God's will and to be faithful. till you bring us home. And we'll thank you and praise you. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano begins to play tonight. If you're here tonight, say, "Preacher, I'm saved."